Whenever we celebrate a feast, such as today's feast of the Nativity, Christmas, or we go to a regular Sunday Mass or come together to pray, we're being challenged as Christians to go deeper into our faith, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And today's feast in a particular way really highlights two of the challenges that we face. And if we want to call ourselves Christians, then we have to deny our own willfulness, selfishness, greed, what we want, in order to be totally obedient to the will of the Father. And we see that today in this celebration. Let me put it another way. If we truly want to be disciples of the Lord, and we are committed to the Lord, then we have to allow God to mess up our lives, to get in our lives and mess them up. Because that is the way of the disciple. It's not this easy, wonderful path where it's very comfortable and convenient, but rather the Lord takes us seriously when we say, I want to be your disciple. He messes up our lives. Take Joseph. He's marrying this young woman, finds out she's pregnant. What a shock that must have been to him. And he wanted to divorce her, but no, the angel said, no, Joseph, take her as your wife. Talk about messing up a life. And the Blessed Mother, a young woman, and an angel appears to her and says, you are going to bear the Christ, and this will be through the Holy Spirit. Well, she didn't plan that. And yet, what did she say? Let it be done according to your word. God got in there and was changing her life. It was never going to be the same. And then they go to Bethlehem. Do they get a nice room in the Holiday Inn? No. They have to go to a stable. And they put the newborn child in a manger. Talk about messing up a life. This stinky room. And yet this is where the Christ child was born. And of course, we take Jesus too. Now, he's God, and he knew what he was getting into because he planned it all. But he messed up his own life, in a sense, because he could have come on a cloud of glory, sat in a throne, and expected people to come and worship him, but he didn't. He came as a little child, and as Paul says, he came as a slave. A slave. The Almighty God became a slave. And ultimately, he wound up not on a throne, unless you think of the cross as a throne. And many of the early writers said that was his throne, the cross. He was killed in a horrible way. So talk about God messing things up. And yet, that is the way of God. So one indication that we're on the right track is if we're constantly being challenged to say no to what we want, to our will, to convenience and comfort. And when the Lord comes with this messiness to say, okay, Lord, I don't necessarily like it, but if that's what it costs me to truly be your disciple, then I say yes. And the wonderful thing is, we don't do it alone. We do it in a Christian community. And so we're supposed to be helping one another to get through those messy times so that we can truly use the word Christian, say, I am a Christian, and mean it. And of course, go back to the Old Testament. We have God messing up people's lives there. We have Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, Jeremiah the prophet. All their lives were messed up. They weren't this very nice, convenient path to glory. They went through bad times. But that's the root of the disciple. So that's a challenge that this feast in particular gives us, and we have to keep answering it every day. It's not just one time, but it's every day we have to say, Lord, I want to recommit myself to you, and therefore I agree, mess up my life as much as you want, because that is the way you want me to follow you. So literally we have to do that, not just kind of take and say, okay, I'll do it, but like the Blessed Mother, like Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, to say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. So that's a challenge right there. The second challenge comes out of our baptism. How many of you have been baptized? Okay, in baptism, we are immersed into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through baptism, we become adopted sons and daughters of God, the household, the family of God. So we are entering into a much bigger family than our own biological family. So the family that God wants to gather to himself comes from everywhere. And we see that again in our readings. And we're going to see it in the Epiphany when we have these wise men coming from the East who are pagans, Gentiles, and yet God is inviting them to be part of the family. But in today's reading, we have the shepherds. The shepherds were the first ones to hear the good news of the birth of the Messiah. Shepherds, lowlifes, stinky. They were not particularly welcomed in the villages because they spent all their time with these stupid sheep out in the hills. And so when they came into the village, they smelled like the sheep. So they weren't welcome. And yet they're the first ones to come and see the Christ child. You know, he didn't ask me. He didn't ask the townspeople who were well off. He brought the stinky, ignorant, outcast shepherds to see the Christ child. But that's how God wants our family, the church, to be a family, to keep increasing the size of and welcoming everyone into it. So again, we have the shepherds, we have the wise men, we have the tax collectors, we have the sinners, we have those who are prostitutes. God wants everyone to be part of the family, to be committed to the gospel message, so that we are growing constantly in our faith and in our commitment to the Lord. So we probably don't think of that at Christmas. We all have nice creches. We have these shepherds who look nice and clean, but of course they weren't. And yet, we're being challenged to go beyond our limited understanding of what it means to be a part of God's kingdom. And again, talking about messing up our lives, we have the story of Joseph and Mary having to take the Christ child into Egypt. They couldn't go back to Nazareth, pack a bag. They had to get away because of Herod the Great. And yet, they did it. They did it. I mean, imagine if after this Mass we found all these buses out front with policemen saying, you got to get on these buses and you can't go home and we're going to take you to Buffalo. I have nothing against Buffalo, incidentally. You know, I'm just talking like a modern-day Egypt. But, you know, think of that. Say, wait a minute, you can't do that. I'm an American citizen. And yet, that's how God messes up our lives. He gets in there. And we have to do things that we wouldn't want to do, we wouldn't normally do. In fact, we would take offense at it. But there again, we have shepherds, we have a stable, we have a manger. We have all the things which really are not part of what we might think is due to the glory of God. But that's God. So there again, we have a challenge. A challenge if we want to be known as members of the household, the family of God, we have to be welcoming to everyone. Now, so can you imagine seeing a homeless person on the street and saying, come on into dinner? Well, that'd be appropriate because that's our brother or our sister. And yet there's the challenge of our faith. We don't think that way. We still are very self-protective. We put up walls and boundaries, but Jesus didn't do that. He went out amidst all the people in order to bring about salvation. And he didn't say, whatever you're doing is fine, it's okay, but he knew that through his healing presence, we would all be healed of whatever wounds and sins we have so that we can be more faithful members of the family of Christ. So here we have this beautiful feast about God's love for you and me. A love that never ends, that is unconditional. And if we dare to call ourselves Christians, then we have to step up to the challenge. The challenges that come with being a member of the family of God, and also the challenge that if we do what we're called to do, God is going to get into our lives and mess them up. It may not be convenient. We may be impatient. It may not be according to our schedule, but God knows best. We know that. We know that. But we have to practice living that each and every day. So again, as we thank God for becoming a human being, bringing us salvation, and he came to save us from our sins, what better way can we say thank you than by saying, Lord, I commit myself to you. And every day to say it, because to the day we die, we will be able to go deeper into our commitment to our faith, to go deeper into our love of God and of our neighbor, finding out even more ways in which the Lord says, you want to go deeper? Here it is. So with God, his graces, his blessings are inexhaustible. And we as a community of believers are called to constantly come together to support one another in our walk, because we can't do it alone. But as a community of believers, we can be more and more welcoming to others, to invite the modern day shepherds into our churches, into our homes. We can welcome those who come from a long ways away, who don't know our culture or our language. We can welcome them. But there's many ways in which we can say to the Lord, Lord, it's all about you and your kingdom, which is universal, huge, and it's not about my idea of a kingdom which I have control over. So as you continue to celebrate this great feast, and we have 12 days of Christmas, to think about how much God loves us, how much he has given us, how much he continues to shower upon us in terms of his blessings and graces, and to recommit ourselves to being good disciples of the Lord, to going deeper, to giving God permission to mess up our lives, to open our hearts and minds and our homes to those people that we wouldn't normally think of as part of our family, and yet because they come from God, they are indeed family members. And the more we do that, the more we are like Jesus Christ, which we were baptized to be, and the more we say to the Lord, Lord, it is your kingdom that I want to follow and to be a part of. It's your kingdom that I want to share in for all eternity. And then one day when that happens, we will know the fullness of joy and glory that God wants for every one of us. But it's up to us to say yes each and every day, to recommit ourselves to following our Savior Jesus Christ, who himself says he is the way, the truth, and the life.